This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Saturday morning service of March the 25th, 1989. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Rod Johnson is the teacher of the morning.
That God the Father, in His mercy, will minister to you as both a mother and a father, if you're sincere in asking Him to give you wisdom and guidance. But you have got a powerfully strong twofold position there. It requires much prayer time, much responsibility time. Number two, I want to speak to you families who are mixed families. How many mixed families do we have here this morning, where it's a mother and a father are not the mother and father of their natural children or the products of it? Do we have many here? It would be unusual if we didn't have many. That's right. Okay, you step-parents and step-children. You step-fathers, first of all, I want to speak to you. You are going to have a natural tendency to hate the youngster that has inherited the iniquities from their father, because they're the very things that drove your wife away from him many times. And they are manifest in his children. And she is going to do a good job of showing you how bad they are, whether she realizes it or not, in your courtship. Undoubtedly, you discussed why your marriage didn't work. And all of those uglies did come out. And you purposed in your heart that you were going to hate those things and take care of her in those areas. And on it goes. As we minister along this line, I don't want to get dragging out in this, but I want you to see this thing. And I want you to look upon your stepchildren with the eyes of the Father. We must do that without judgmental eyes, but we must see these precious children. You must recognize that they need deliverance in this area, and you must minister to those iniquities in that area, not with the hate of a discipline of an ugliness, but with a loving Father of a release and a deliverance. Likewise, mothers that have inherited stepchildren, it's the same thing. And you must learn that those children are going to have the iniquity traits of their father. And it's not their fault. It took two to tango. And you and I have made our bed, and we must lie in it in that area. But for heaven's sake, let's not lay the blame upon our children and abuse our children because of it. But instead, let's minister to them that they might be free so they don't do those things that you and I did. Oh, we need to minister to them. Hallelujah. Once again, I want to repeat so that you just let this sink in. Husbands, fathers, men, you are the spiritual covering for your house. You are responsible unto Christ. Wives, you are to look unto Christ, but unto your husbands as your spiritual covering. And you are to receive the ministering from them. You are to recognize that they will see spirits and that they will be able to bring deliverance to you. Now, this also works the other way, because you are an helpmate to your husband. You are one that has been set by your husband's side to minister to your husband. You are one that has been sent by your husband's side to be an asset, to walk through life with him, to walk through the callings of God with him, and on and on. Therefore, you are going to be called upon to identify and minister to the spirits that are coming against him also. But ultimately, it is the male covering that is responsible for those spirits in the home. Do you understand this from the Scripture? It's not me now, it's the Scripture. Look at David, 2 Samuel chapter 11. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 2 to 5. You know the story. Maybe we don't have to go into the details of it. David went up on the rooftop and he saw Bathsheba, and he was filled with adultery because he fed a spirit that had control of him that caused him to have lust. He fed this lustful spirit, and rather than fleeing the situation, he looked upon her. He was filled with lust. He said, "Send her to me." He committed sin with her, and they had a child. The woman conceived and told David that she had a child. Well, we know that in the life of David, and then we know the story of how David caused Uriah to be killed by being placed in the front lines. David didn't kill Uriah. But you know that little thing within him, then, he could justify this murder. Yet, like I said, these iniquities, they're very sly. and they will bring justification about. Now, David realized his sin, and we read the sins, the Psalms of repentance that David brought forth and so forth. But still, there was a period of time when David was justifying what he was doing. He knew better. But he was going to take control of the situation and reason in his mind rather than let God deal with it. Reason in his mind how he was going to cover up the sin and let it be hid from within so nobody would know it, or very few would know it. And so he said, I want to arrange for the murder of her husband so that this thing can look. Isn't that just like the iniquity? Hide it from within. We're ashamed to let anybody see it from without. Okay? Now, as verses 14 and 15, did I read it? Yeah, I read that already. Okay. Now, let's go. We also see with David that he was a polygamist. That's a million-dollar word sometimes. And the word teaches us that he had at least 9 wives, that he had at least 10 concubines, and 19 sons. Can't imagine raising 19 sons. And I guess he couldn't imagine it either, so he didn't do it. He kind of let them raise themselves. Someone said yesterday about handling all the birthdays of Solomon's wife. Oh, what a nightmare that would be, wouldn't it? No wonder he was rich. Okay, now we see Solomon, David's son. And we see this trait of iniquity coming through the bloodline. And we see that in Solomon, that Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. For a minute, look at Deuteronomy 17:17. And we'll see a spirit of rebellion, inherited rebellion, coming forth here. Complete disregard for God's word. In Deuteronomy 17:17, it says, the rules for a king. It says that he shouldn't multiply horses and so on and so forth. But in verse 17 it says, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. But we see that Solomon, with his 300 concubines and 700 wives, was following, and the iniquities were greatly magnified in his life. Isn't that right? And he had this openness, crooked in iniquity, the same as his dad did, and the both of them deliberately defiled the law of God. Now, there's no way we can be convinced they didn't know the law of God, but this force from within them, oh God, only we can relate to it because we wrestle with it, was so overpowering that the power of the Word of God was pushed down by us, and the desire to give in to this iniquity was overwhelming. And it was so powerful that we lost reasoning sense. We lost our desire and our love for God. And in fact, our love for God waxed cold in that area. And the scripture says, because of the iniquities of the fathers, the love of many shall wax cold in that last day. I didn't quote that exact, but that's the way it says it. We see this happening within. So we need to look upon these things with the loving Father's mercy, not with eyes of judgmentalism and eyes of cursing and eyes of damnation. But we need to look with eyes, the love of the Father, compassion. That's how the Father is looking at you and I this morning. He's looking upon us with compassion. And he's saying, I want to set you free from these iniquities. Very quickly we must go on so we can end. Let's look one more. It's Absalom. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 21. 2 Samuel 13:21. Of course, we've got some incest in the family going on. Tamar was attacked by her brother, Ammon. And when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. Stop. The word of God and the law taught that David should have dealt with that by putting the son to death. Amen? Incest? I believe that's a sin unto death. David knew the law, but you see, David had the same driving force that his son did. And that spirit caused him not to have anger towards the sin, but instead caused him to have compassion towards the sin that was not righteous compassion. Your iniquities will cause you to have compassion towards people that will let them walk in their sins. You will let your children walk in their sins because you relate to that sin, because you've got the same thing and you've not dealt with it, and you don't know the joy of the freedom of being away from it. And that's what happened to David there. Oh, my God, don't let that deceitful one take us down that path. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, then in verses 21 to 23, and Absalom spoke unto his brother Amon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amon because he had forced his sister Tamar. And it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom carried this thing in his heart. Now we see that iniquities breed and bring in sin in the family. That's why we need to deliver them. So now David's family is full of many, many things, and he's got a son running around with much hate and anger. He's mad at his dad because his dad didn't deal with the sin, because his dad had sin in him. And he's mad at his brother because his brother committed such a great sin against his sister that he loved. And he walked around and he let this unconfessed sin that was not dealt with boil from within. And we find a little bit later in the scriptures, let's look at it so that we can see it in verses 28 and 29 of the same chapter. Now Absalom commanded his servants, saying, mark ye now when Amon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amon, then kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous, be valiant. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's son arose, and every man got him up upon his mule and fled. Absalom knew better. But this spirit now of anger became so powerful in his life. And he knew, and he had that same spirit that David had within him, and he got someone else to do the job. And he said, don't fear. The same way that his dad did it. You can see the inner workings of how this thing would minister to him all the way through. Look at chapter 18, verses 9 and 14. Praise the Lord, the clock is slowing down. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, and behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. Let's drop down to verse 14. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. Now we love our children. Amen. We have a love that has been given to us by God for our children. Even a child abuser, if you are walking under the influence of something that causes you to beat your children and to abuse your children, deep down and from within, God has given you a love for your children. And somehow you are seeing through your eyes that beating them and hurting them is a way of expressing love to them. You need that corrected. And the Father will look upon you with mercy and help that to be corrected. But now, can you imagine how David must have been torn? And the scripture tells us much about it. But Absalom was riding upon, I think he was riding upon an ass, wasn't he? Isn't that right? That should be for a king. He tried to take the office of a king, and he was not set by God to be a king. He had rebellion in him. And the scripture says, cursed is every man that hangs upon a tree. He was caught by a tree, and what was he caught but by his hair, which is the covering? He was entangled by the covering. He should never, which is a type that he was in the wrong place, trying to do the wrong thing, and so on and so forth. And then notice that when he was killed by 3 darts. And I asked the Lord to minister to me on the 3 darts. Many things he ministered to me, but let me tell you basically what I believe this is. Number one, the darts are the fiery darts of Satan. It's the fiery darts of Satan that we have the shield and the armor of God to fend off those fiery darts. So they represent sin. And we see Absalom as totally so full of rebellion and totally sold out to the works of rebellion because of the iniquities that were never dealt with, and because of parents that didn't deal with him in a right way and rebellion in the family. And we see three darts. He was sold out against God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure there's much more to that that I don't know. But for right now, that satisfies. He was totally sold out against God and unto this thing of rebellion that got a hold of him in such a way. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my God. Could there be anything more devastating to you and I than to see our children destroyed? Okay, let's bring this thing. Are you convinced by the word now that this is an inherited thing? Okay, we want to go to the scriptures. Some of the iniquities that can be in action, just run through very quickly. Look at Psalm 107. We are just barely scratching the surface. I'm relying on the authority of the Holy Spirit to do. Verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. That word afflicted is also used for sickness and disease. How many times have you been told if you're suffering from cancer or weak heart, or that the doctor has even said, well, it runs in your family. Someone that I love dearly has said to me, you better get rid of that big beer belly. They don't know that I don't drink beer anymore. And I am winning the battle. We've lost a lot of weight, but we've got a long ways to go. But because in your family, from your father's side, everybody dies of a heart attack at an early age, and they all have big beer bellies like that. Well, it's a common thought that we inherit the disease of cancer. We inherit the disease of bad nerves, of bad eyes, and so forth. It's an iniquity. It's an inner thing. Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. We do not need to receive them. We need to be delivered from them because we love the Lord God. Amen, brother. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Look at Psalm 66, verse 18. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Iniquities separate us from fellowship with God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In other words, we all know we've got them there. We may be the only ones other than God that knows them. We've been successful in hiding them. But because I look at them and recognize them, that they're there, they are going to separate me from the perfect fellowship I desire with God. And I can come here and get deliverance upon deliverance, and I can praise for hours and pray in tongues for years. But until I get deliverance from these iniquities, those crooked desires, I'm not going to have that perfect, intimate relationship at the mercy seat with Jesus Christ and God the Father. Hallelujah. You know, we get rid of these things and we come into a precious oneness. Hallelujah. Psalm 23 says, I prepare a table before you in the presence of mine enemies. The Lord wants to have an intimate fellowship with us, and the enemies can be all around us. But he is going to minister to us, and we're going to have that intimate fellowship, and the enemies are going to recognize and they're going to see that union of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 64 and 7. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow, and suddenly they shall be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves, all they that see them. I don't know why I chose that scripture. Oh, verse 6. They search out iniquities, they accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them, and the heart is deep, and God shoots at them with an arrow. We see that the word of God is going to come to us with our iniquities, and swiftly he's going to attack them in at the very innermost part of us. He's going to send hornets in to drive them out. Jeremiah chapter 5. Lord, I better be still. Time is running out. The iniquities, now we're talking about here, your iniquities have turned away these things. They turned away in verse 24, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. The iniquities from within turn away the ministering power and the authority of the Holy Spirit of God from working in us. The gifts of the Spirit cannot flow through someone who is walking under the influence of the iniquities. the fruit of the Spirit, the very nature of Christ, is hindered from coming out because of the iniquities. Very quickly, 14 and 7, and then we'll stop. Of Jeremiah. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, ultimately, as we are sincere in crying out to God to become like Him, our iniquities are going to become manifest. I can tell you so many experiences, time won't permit. But your that thing that you're hiding within, you're deceiving yourself if you think that it's going to be hidden and you're going to carry it to the grave with you. If you're sincere about being right before God, you cannot hide that thing. And the love of God works this way. He sees it as a hindering force, and He's going to let it be manifest so that you hate it. And that is situation ugly to the maximum. That is situation uncomfortable. That is pain. That is embarrassment. That is being caught in a compromising position where Christians shouldn't be. And all of a sudden my religious facade is no longer there. And I am standing naked not only before God, but before the whole world. We need to deal with these things. We need to. Oh, the Father loves you and I so much. The Father loves you and I so much. I want you to stand with me and take your word. I want you to turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 4, verse 21. Now, if you're not comfortable standing, then you sit. That's not important that we're in unity on standing. What's important is that you're in unity if you want to hear the Lord. You want God to deal with you. Let's read verse 21 together. And being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. The Word says He was bruised for our iniquities. That is a promise. We have just confessed with our mouth that what the Word promises, God is able to perform. Let's confess to the Father that we believe that. Let's tell Him, Father, I believe that You are able to perform deliverance from my iniquities. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Before we read this, I want to ask you a question. Don't answer me. Answer yourself. Do I have, 2 Peter 1, 4, do I have a sincere desire from within for Christ to come forth from within me? Do I really love the Lord? Do I love the Lord at all costs? Am I really sold out to the cause of God? By that, in other words, have I really surrendered my life to Jesus Christ? Have I said, Jesus, come and be a part of me at all expense? I want You to be a part of me. I want You to lead me in my life. Okay. I want you to bow your heads for a second. How many here this morning, and please, nobody looking, just bow your heads. How many here this morning would say, I have not really made that commitment to God? And I'm not going to call you up or anything, but I want to pray with you. And I'm ready. I want to make a commitment to God. I want to turn my life over completely to God, that He would control. Quickly raise your hand. Yes. How many more? There's hands all. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a brother I was praying for. I knew it. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. How many more? Quickly. Okay, we're going to pray a prayer of commitment together. You may put your hands down. Sinner, those of you that raised your hands, pray with me. The rest of you, I want you to pray in the Spirit. Okay, follow me in prayer, those of you that raised your hand. Dear Father, I come to You now. I want to surrender to You. I have sinned. Forgive me of all of my sin. Cover me with Your blood. Dear Father, I desire to surrender my will to You this day. I want You to be a part of me. I want to follow You. I want salvation. I want to be healed. I want to be loosed from the power of Satan. I commit my life to You this moment. And now, Father, I need help. Please give me Your Holy Spirit. Please give me Your Holy Spirit. and change me so that I can go straight. Turn me around from the old way. Put me on the straight path. Father, give me love and give me a witness in my inner being that you have come to me this moment. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you for saving my soul. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Oh, there were souls. There's angels rejoicing. Oh, I know of three or four. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to change lives this morning. Oh, my God, I pray for you to touch lives this morning. Pour forth your power. Pour forth your life upon them, oh, God. Lord, move upon these people, oh, God. Rain with your love and power upon us. Oh, Lord, change lives now. Change lives now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to do a jig, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. Okay, I want you to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 and 24 with me. The word renew here means to change your course. Okay? We're like we're in a canoe. And we've been paddling upstream. And if any of you have ever paddled upstream against the current, it's hard work. And now the Lord is saying, quit paddling upstream against the current. He's saying, be renewed. Change your course. Paddle with the current. And I'm going to lead you down the river of life. I'm going to take you down the river of life. Hallelujah. So, verse 23 and 24, let's read it together. And be renewed, spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There is something here that's brand new, and there's something here that's a process of getting dressed. That renewed is going to be something that's going to happen. It's going to start suddenly. The putting on is like putting on your clothes. It is not instant. I have great fun trying to do my morning chores quickly. So I try to shave, brush my teeth, and put my shoes on at the same time. And it doesn't work. But it's a wasted effort. And just a little idiot thing I've got where I tried to master that ugly task of the morning. But and we try to do that with God, too, you know. And we want to be everything in God right away. And it's not that way. We put on the nature of God. We get dressed with the nature of God. That's what this says. So we're going to start by dealing with these inner things of the iniquities. Now, a prayer of deliverance in Psalm chapter 40, verses 13 and 14. But before we do that, you may be seated. Now, some of the inherited iniquities I'm going to call out. There are many because we each have our individual things. Psalm 40, verses 13 and 14. We'll pray that prayer in a minute together. But it's the word of God that divides the soul and spirit asunder. It's not any man, isn't it? Hallelujah. That's why God uses your ministry so powerfully. Oh, what a blessing. Psalm 40, verse 13. Now I would ask you to pray with me. And you can just pray silently. This becomes a very personal thing. Remember, each soul is accountable to themselves. Father, I need you to bring forth to me into my knowledge in this moment any unforgiveness towards my father, my grandfather, and back to four generations. Father, I need to have a forgiving heart. And I've got some hate in my heart, maybe. Some of you have got hate. Some of you have got anger. You've got bitterness. These are things that are going to hinder you from forgiveness. And you can't just flip a switch that says hate, anger, and bitterness is gone. The only one that can drive it from you is the tender, loving mercy of the Father. And He's assured me this morning that God the Father, He is ministering His love to you this morning. and he wants to drive the hate from you this morning. So if you've got a problem of anger and frustration and hate and bitterness and lack of respect or whatever it might be towards the generations going back to four, let's pray together, those of you that have that problem. Father, please forgive me of that sin. It's a big sin. I'm having a difficulty coping with it. I am giving it to you, Jesus. Please nail it to the cross. It's heavy. You take the load now and fill me with your love. Father, give me your love. Father, please give me your love now. Heavenly Father, I pray for you to minister the spirit of love, the Father's love from above to all these people this morning, right where they're at. Lord God, minister your love now. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, all of these sins that I have inherited from my forefathers, sins being iniquities, I desire, God, to be set free from these iniquities. I forgive all. Back to the fourth generation. Father, I pray for you to work as a spirit of forgiveness in the lives of all. Oh, please, God. God, this has got to be you. It can't be man. What a test of faith this is, Father God. Oh, Lord, that our faith would be strong in this moment. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now, Father, we need strength, so let's pray. Father, we need strength. Please cause our faith to swell at this moment that we might face our iniquities and deal with them. Father, I pray that you would minister faith. We've ministered the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Father, we speak that over these people this morning. And Father God, I believe that now our faith is swelling, that we can accept deliverance, O God, that we can handle facing these things, and that by the power of you, we will be loosed from them. In Jesus' name, we speak these things into life. Thank you, Father, that we may do this. We can come to you. Oh, praise you, Father, that you're there. Oh, praise you, Father. Let's praise the Father. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. We glorify you, Father. Thank you, Father, that we can come to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Oh, glory to the Father. Oh, we praise you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to call out some things. The Holy Spirit is already dealing with you. As I call them out, you may become aware of them also. I would ask that some of you would call out as you're prompted by the Holy Ghost. This is body ministry. Because the Holy Spirit may use you to bring forth into light an iniquity that someone else is wrestling with that needs to be exposed. Lying, adultery, fornication, lust, basically lust, carelessness in the areas of finances, lack of responsibility, a wandering spirit not wanting to face up to responsibilities, anger, temper, pride. Pride in the family name and family tradition. Pride in our nationality. Thank you, Lord. Pride in the homestead and in the area that we live in. Covetousness, never satisfied with what we have. Hallelujah. Let the Spirit minister to you. Child abuse and all of the things that go with it. You may have been an abused child. You've inherited things. That's right. Let it go. Sharanatarianga. In Jesus' name, come out. Sharanatarianga. Those of you who are stepchildren, you have scars that you need to be delivered from. You've inherited them even. Rejection. Come out. Because you carry them and pass them on, that spirit of rejection. We need someone to help. Oh, no. They're okay. Hallelujah. There is a trait towards divorce, unfaithfulness, that's handed down through the generations. That spirit of unfaithfulness. A religious spirit. I was brought up in a particular religion and I will not leave go of it. I cannot leave go of it. It has been ingrained in me. My parents would be offended. My grandparents were raised that way. I do not dare go from that thing. That's an iniquity. That's a perverse, crooked thing that gets a hold of you. And it's not willing. It's not pleasing to God. God says the traditions of the elders are of no value to us. The Word of God is the only thing. Come against that thing now and be loosed from it. Be loosed from it in Jesus' name. Oh, I hate that thing. I hate it, that religious spirit. A spirit of silliness, lightness, not being able to deal with things with reality, but instead looking, it goes with responsibility, but the Spirit is telling me there's some here that you're not willing to look upon things with seriousness. You treat everything as being giddy and silly. That, forgive me, and I don't want to offend anybody, but that dumb attitude. I want to put on the appearance that I'm dumb. And what it's doing is it's hiding many things, most of which it's hiding is an insecure spirit. And you've inherited a spirit of insecurity, and it's been inbred in you, and you need to be get set free from that thing. We come against that spirit of silliness and that spirit of insecurity in Jesus' name. Are there others? A sarcastic spirit, yes. Yes, that's a trait that's handed down. Definitely. Let's come against that spirit of sarcasm. Oh, in the name of Jesus, you be let go. Hallelujah. Thank you. And we would come against the spirit of incest. We see how that came down through David and so forth. We come against that spirit of incest now. There are some of you that have been abused when you were young and you're carrying this thing. We're getting away from iniquities a little bit, but let's deal with it. There are some of you that are carrying the curse of the bastard from 10 generations ago, and some of it comes down through that spirit of incest and so forth, where you've been fondled and touched, where individuals have caressed you and they've had a spirit. Oh, just let it go. This hurts to deal with it for right now, but it's a cleansing hurt because the joy of the Lord is going to set you free in the name of Jesus. Loose in the name of Jesus. Loose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, karanalalalalalashianda. Oh, we need to forgive them. Oh, we need to forgive that one that's offended us, that's abused our bodies. By the way, homosexuality is not an iniquity, so we'll not touch that. Hallelujah. 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 Homosexuality is a presumptuous sin. Are there others? Let the body minister. Come on, just cry out. Infidelity. Yes. There is a trait, unfaithfulness. Yes. Yes. It's something that comes easily. It's there because we not only have seen it in our families, but it's an iniquity that's come against the spirit of infidelity now. Lord, we ask that you would cause our eyes to see only the mates, only our mates. Father, deliver us from the spirit of infidelity. Deliver us, O God, from that one. Oh, Lord. You know, this goes deeper than the casting a look. This is that inner drive that says, oh, if I'd only have married someone else. Or this even goes back to that first love experience that you had. And how many times don't we think about, oh, I probably should have married that one. Remember that one I fell in love with at the first time, how perfect it was. Or for those that committed adultery, remember, oh, we need forgiveness in that area of unfaithfulness also. But it haunts us from within. It's a very deep thing. Let's, in the name of Jesus, be loose from that now. Come out in Jesus' name. Yes. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Someone here that has what I call a hooker spirit, and I'm just going to call it like it is, but it's because you've inherited through sections that have been handed down from generations, moral understanding of things, and you don't have a good understanding of the sanctity of the beauty of the husband and wife coming together and the preciousness of that relationship. And you've gone to the oldest trade that's known, and God wants to set you free from even justifying that thing this morning. And he wants to loose you from it. I don't know who you are, but in the name of Jesus, be loose now. I see someone doing it. In the name of Jesus, be free. Hallelujah. The divorce spirit. Okay, we'll touch that again. Any inkling of a divorce we know is rooted in the seed of Satan. In God's way of living, when two Christians become married, there is no excuse for divorce. I believe that with all my heart. And there is no excuse for divorce when you are married in Christ, when you are a Christian. And that spirit, it is a lack of responsibility spirit, actually, and it brings many others, but it's inherited in many of us, and especially in our children this day. Father, we come against that spirit. The roving eye spirit, the dissatisfied spirit that goes with that, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's interesting along this line. I don't know if I'll be ministering again or not, but if I am, we're going to be dealing with the ites in our life, and they all go back to the Hittite and the sin of adultery, fornication, and the sexual sin of Ham and so forth. And just about everything is rooted in that area. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I feel a release in the area of deliverance. Hallelujah. Now, I want to bring things to a close. Father, I want to quickly relate a personal experience so you understand. I had to call my children in one at a time. And they came shaking because when Dad calls them, it's like God them calling them sometimes. It's not so good. And their first reaction was, what have I done? And I said, no, it's not what you've done. It's what Dad has done. And I had to lay in a very painful way. And I had to recognize that each of my children were unique. They inherited iniquities from me, not the same in each child. So I had to minister to each child. Now, the Word teaches us that because you've heard this Word this morning, the cloak of sin is removed. You are now accountable and responsible to God. That's not a threat, that's a promise. And it's a beautiful promise because it means it's an effectual thing. The Word of God will not go out empty, but it will go out and do work. Amen. Do you follow my thinking along that line? So, fathers, you call your children together. And if there's stepchildren involved, you deal with your mate to the best of your ability so that you know what the iniquities are that you're dealing with. And one at a time, you minister to your children. You minister to them this way, that you have a loving, forgiving God and that you are a loving, forgiving Father. You're not coming as someone with the battle axe ready to chop off the head. Number two, that they can be set free from this thing and these things, whatever they are. That this is not a condemnation sentencing hearing, but instead this is a loosing hearing. And then you describe to them at their age level, and God will give you the ability to minister to them in their tongue. This I know by experience. He'll have you talk as a child to a child, as a teen to a teen, as a young adult to a young adult, and as a dad to a dad. And you minister to them and you tell them that they've got these areas that they need to be ministered by the Word of God to, and you bring the Word of God to them, and you let the Word of God do the division, do the slaying of the enemy. Because these children, as they love you and they'll pray with you, but the force of the Word of God exceeds your force. Hallelujah. And especially in the teens, you must deliver the Word of God rather than your personality for it. You understand what I mean, all of you, I'm sure. Okay. And after you have done this, you pray with them. This may be a new experience for many of you. Yes. And you pray with them, and don't be ashamed to weep, and ask them to forgive you. And you forgive them. Forgiveness is a two-way street. But let them know that you're sincere before God. Likewise, then, husbands and wives, you have an open discussion about the iniquities. And husbands, you work with your wives. Wives, you work with your husbands, and you minister to each other with the Word of God. This could turn into a marriage and family living seminar, so easy. But you work with one another, ministering to one another with the Word of God in prayer, and bathe each other with the nature of Christ's words, with the nature of Christ's prayer, at praying in the Spirit and the love of Christ. And then lastly, fathers, you ask God to give you an overview of your home spiritually. We're in the forest and we can't see. Ask God to lift you above the forest. You know, God gave us nights if we work days. And He gave us the ability to go on little sleep if we trust Him. Len and Irma will say amen to that and many others. But nighttime when the house is quiet, the demons are very active. It's time to go into the presence of the enemy and to have a banqueting time with your Father and speak to Him about these things and ask Him to reveal to you the curses, the iniquities, the sin traits, the evil spirits that are hanging over your house that you might drive them out. We've even gone so far as to take a broom, literally, and sweep through a house. People thought we were crazy, but we had to make a point. Sweep your house clean, and then, oh, I've got to quit, but then you take the territory of your land, and you walk your land, and I'll get into this next time I'm there with you. You walk your land praying in the Spirit, and you ask God to reveal the spirits that are crying out from the land, and when you come against them, and you claim that land that your home is on for Jesus Christ, you're the chief spirit warfare agent. You're the head of the army on that land. You're under the authority of the King and the Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're a general in God's army functioning as a priest. Hallelujah. And wives, you're to stand at his side. You're to stand at his side as they build the wall, and you're to carry that lunch pail to him, so to speak. You're to minister to him. You're to minister to that one and encourage him when he's down in the warfare. Amen and amen. Let's stand. Oh, I've abused the privilege of time. Forgive me, Lord. Hallelujah. There'll be more deliverance. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will quicken you. We're not done by any means. God is not done. He'll release more. Let's thank the Father. Father, I thank you. For your Word of God. For your love. For the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord God, for being there. For your mercy, O Father. Father, you don't kick us when we're down. You don't hinder us when we're down. You lift us up, O God. You minister to us where we're at, O Lord. You meet us where we're at, O God. Thank you, Lord, for that. Father, I pray that you would seal this word in our hearts this hour. Lord, may this thing be a work of a seed that grows and grows, O God. Draw families together, O Lord. Increase their love for one another, Almighty God. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, we thank you for the food. Bless the cooks. Bless those that work so hard, Lord. God, bless the food in our fellowship. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.